Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Body Gravers Club. This episode is being recorded inside of the Vault, which is our signature program that is a place for people, both body gravers and providers alike, to have community and resources. And we're just super pumped. So, hey, Jana.
Hey, I love that you pointed that out, because the one thing that we hear over and over and over again is community. Whether you're a provider or whether you're a body group, they're like, community, we need community.
Yeah.
So that's what we're hoping to kind of provide here, is that community place.
Yeah, I really hope that the Vault can grow and that we can connect more people. And I'm hoping it'll be a one-stop solution for both body grievers and providers alike. You know, so even as we're recording, I had this like weird body image experience the other day where like I kept noticing my reflection in the mirror. And because I'm so aligned with my values, because I know how I want to speak to myself, I knew that if I kept looking at myself in the mirror and I kept saying or uttering these little things like, oh, or wow, this mirror makes me look big, it down the road, it was going to impact me.
But it was going to kind of wear at you little by little, kind of.
Right. Like it was so, it seemed so innocuous. It seemed so harmless in the moment. But I know that all it takes is a little bit and for that wedge to get in there. And over time, I know that it would start to wear down my self-esteem and my self-talk. And so I like to catch those thoughts really quickly when they come up. We were talking a little bit that day about, do you remember where we're talking about like saying what you mean and meaning what you say?
Authentic communication, right?
Authentic communication. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I loved that conversation, actually. I've thought about it a lot since we had it, because I thought about how we were talking about some phrases that are not very kind anymore, right? That are not very culturally appropriate, right?
Correct.
And how we've kind of used some of those phrases as a way to not say what we actually really mean, right? And how that like authentic communication to really say what we really, really mean can be really kind of tricky sometimes and really vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one of the things I'd listened to a podcast, the Factoid podcast, and one of the things they said inside of the podcast was, instead of saying, I don't want to say this anymore, what do I want to say? So instead of saying, I don't want to be a people pleaser anymore, what do you want to be? And so we both came up with some names or some things that we want to be. What was yours?
I feel like mine was an authentic, kind communicator or something like that.
Yeah, an authentic communicator or an authentic being.
Yeah.
And mine was, and one of my followers had given me this suggestion, I want to be a courageous communicator. And that is so hard for me, because one of the values that I hold so deeply is being a compassionate helper. And it's something that you and I have in common. If you follow us, you know that we love the Enneagram. But I love the Enneagram because I just find it to be so poignant. If you don't like it, you don't have to use it. But as an Enneagram 2 wing type 3, I know that our core motivation is to help people. And so it can be so hard when my core motivation in life is being compassionate and helping others. It is a great thing. But on the other side, it can also turn into people pleasing and trying to make other people happy, even if I'm unhappy.
And enter self-betrayal, right? That people-pleasing, it is a tricky, slippery slope, because there is definitely this moment, and we're used to really not noticing this moment, where we go from like, I'm fine helping you. Oh, wait, hold on a second here. And that's the moment when we switch from like, I'm in alignment to now I'm in self-betrayal. Because I'm doing things that I don't really want to do, or that I haven't found a place inside of myself that feels like I can give this without resentment.
Wow. And so I think that actually speaks to a greater message of not just being in alignment with your values, but being in alignment with yourself. Of, do I know what feels good or what maybe doesn't feel good? I had a co-coach back in the day, my girl Maddie. She used to say to me, Bree, it's either a hell yes or it's a hell no.
I can hear Maddie saying that as you say that. Like, I love her.
Because I am always like a yes, absolutely. And I have such good friends in my life that they will say things like, are you 100% sure? Are you sure you want to say yes to this? I don't want this to be a moment that you later end up resenting. And it really forced me to ask myself, do I trust myself? Do I have that phrase we use all of the time? Do I have enthusiastic consent?
There you go.
Maybe one time I wanted to help you and it felt really good. But now the next time it doesn't. But in being a courageous communicator, I have to be so not only in tune with my values, but in tune with myself and be willing to do the hard, scary thing to say, I am going to risk you being mad at me or you not loving me, which is a fear for us Enneagram twos, in an effort to honor myself and my needs.
Yeah, I actually ran into this exact scenario with my daughter a couple of weeks ago when something was going on and we'd made an agreement and she broke the agreement and I had to make a choice on something. And it was really uncomfortable because she says, well, now there's this problem between us, right? Mm-hmm. And I had to say, hey, you know what? I hear you. And it is uncomfortable here. Me setting this boundary for myself, and it was for myself. It wasn't a punishment. It was just like,
sure,
this is my boundary. And where if I cross the boundary, I lose self-respect, right? Like I step out of my alignment, right? And I said, so yeah, I am having to kind of suffer, if you want to use that word, the consequences of my action, and it's uncomfortable.
And I feel like that it sounds so punitive, right? Like suffer the consequences of my actions. And one of the things that I do when I do body image work is this idea of thinking of the outcome. So let's break that down. Let's say I look in the mirror and I see my reflection and I recognize that I am feeling uncomfortable because I'm saying things like, oh, I can't believe you've gained so much weight, or, oh, you look so big in this mirror. And I can feel that discomfort in my body. My body is talking to me. My body is telling me, hey, we're feeling discomfort. If I don't check that feeling, if I don't check that story or that narrative, what's going to happen later on? The outcome is I'm going to start to spiral. I might notice later on that it becomes even worse. And it's not just this little innocuous, harmless, noticing myself in the mirror situation. And so it's really important to pay attention to every part of our emotional experience. And just because we experience something doesn't mean it's true, right? Just because I see myself in the reflection and think, oh, this mirror is making me big, I can honor that experience without being like, and this is factually true and I should feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That we can honor where it's at.
Yeah.
Without and to attach this other meaning towards it. I'm just feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah. And what might make me feel uncomfortable might not make you uncomfortable. Tell us again what you're doing. You told me in one of the lives that we had to delete. What are you doing after this call?
Oh, I'm going paddleboarding.
And what did I say?
Oh, you said, oh, that sounds terrible.
You said, have you ever gone? And I was like, but it sounds like a lot of effort. And what has your experience paddleboarding been like?
Oh, for me, paddleboarding is amazing and wonderful. Like, so to me, once I got over, like, I don't have to stand. I can sit. And in fact, I bought paddleboards that have a seat that attaches to it. It's great, right? And once I could realize that, and the kayak, climbing in out of a kayak gives me a lot of anxiety and tipping over. Damn. And this paddleboard is great. I'm like, I can just sit on this paddleboard. Right. But I get out there on the lake and I feel the water and I feel the sun and I feel the wind and I feel alive. But I can honor for other people that that may not be an enjoyable experience.
Yeah. Like to me, I That just sounds like a lot of effort. I would much rather be on a boat on the water, like a yacht. No, I'm kidding.
I think that brings up a really interesting point when you're talking about values, because I have a friend that I could call up and go on a boat right now. I love going on the boat. I also love that experience. But this is what happens is if I call that friend, guess who's paying the gas for the boat for a couple hours? And it's $150.
Ooh.
Okay. But there's a trade-off here for me. My paddleboard, is it more effort? Yeah, I have to stand in the back of my car and blow that thing up, and I have to carry it down to the water. And it's more effort for sure. But my values are like, I don't want to pay $150 to go on the water every time.
And do you know what we call that?
What?
We call that the perception of value.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's a businessy term. Bear with me, friends. But for me, $150 is worth it every time. I'm like, yeah. If I'm really feeling like I want to get out in the water, now I want to also recognize that that is privilege to be able to say, yeah, okay, it's going to cost money for gas. There is perception and value in everything that we do. And it's not even just monetary value. Sometimes it can even be like a time value. So when you go paddleboarding, what is the time investment for you?
Oh, I get to pick. I'm fully free. Mm. I get to pick. Right. I can go out there for 2 hours I could even go out there for 45 minutes, or I can go and paddleboard for 5 or 6 hours. I'm not moving the whole time, but I can pull over and take a rest on my board and dip in the water. Like it's very much like I get to control it.
Mm-hmm. See, and I'm just like 45 minutes is like opportune TV watching time. I know, Deanna, you don't like watching TV, but I love watching TV. I think that when we talk about the perception of value, I think part of what happens is when folks are trying to recover in their bodies, especially if they're recovering into a larger body, part of the narrative that's playing out in their brain is that their body is less worthy because they are in a larger body. Their body is less desirable. Their body is less attractive. Their body is less good because it isn't what you think it's supposed to look like, or it doesn't move how you think it's supposed to move. And if you're working with a client who's struggling with that, what values work might you utilize to help them move through that?
Well, I think it's really this process of getting them to find their voice and also to like individualize their experience. Because, you know, we've been taught and sold this narrative of this is what bodies should be like. And if you don't have this body or this isn't what you think it is, right, that there's something wrong with you.
Mm.
Right. And we could really easily do that in the conversation we're having with the boat and the paddle boards and the whole thing, right? Like you and I can both be this place where we're like, oh, nobody's bad because that's your experience and this is my experience and this is how it feels to you and this is how it feels to me. Right. But in bodies, we've been taught this one road.
And I think we've been taught that in most things. Like I've been told, oh, you're 32. Don't you want to get married? Don't you want to have kids? Don't you want to, you know, not live with your dad? And at the end of the day, perception of value. I would prefer to have my dad as my roommate and have some money to go towards the mortgage than to have a roommate that I have no idea. I would rather skip my first divorce and make sure that the person that I date and marry is the person I absolutely want to spend the rest of my life with. And I think that there is a timeline and an agenda that the world sets us on. And part of aligning to your values is determining, what timeline am I on?
Yeah. So that's what I think is that individualization. So when working with clients, I think that we bring it back to them and their values with their body.
Yeah.
Right? Like when we're really struggling with that, like, okay, are these things that you're saying and feeling, are they actually in alignment with yourself?
Mm-hmm. Or are they in alignment with what you've been told you should?
Condition.
Conditioned. We talk all about like deprogramming from diet culture and the cult of dieting. And one of the things that I've really started putting stock in is this concept of who do I, like, what do I want my life to look like?
Mm-hmm.
What motivates me? What are the things that bring me joy? And I've been thinking a lot about this too, because when I sit down and I think about, you know, what I'm like, something I fear, one of the things I fear is missing out on time. I'm like, 2 hours on the lake, that's going to take a lot of time. I don't want to miss 2 hours of my day. And so I had this revelation the other day that was like, you know, what if the time that I had, that downtime, was spent doing something I really want to do, not something that I think I'm supposed to do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or feeling guilty when you're doing the thing you want to do, but you feel like there's something else you should do, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So recently I did a training on motivational interviewing, which, if you're unfamiliar, is a theory of counseling. And one of the things that it said in this training is that people are more motivated by the joy of living than they are the fear of dying. More people are motivated by the joy of living. And this is exactly why aligning to your values can allow you to live a joyful life. One of the things I want you to consider is, when in aligning to your values, what motivates you? What does joyful living look like for you? Once we're able to dream and think of the possibilities, then and only then can we highlight the hurdles that are standing in our way. Aligning to our values requires us to consider what makes us uniquely you, what feeds our soul, what brings us joy. So I want to leave you with three questions. Number one, what is it about a person's content or character that makes them worthy in your mind? So, for example, is there somebody you respect? And if you respect them, what is it about them that makes you respect? Number two, how do your own values contradict or coincide with your beliefs of worthiness and how you value yourself? And three, if you are living your most value-aligned, how would your body image shift? What would you do? So before we go, I want to let folks know, if you're listening to this in real time, which is October 2023, I want to extend a personal invite to all of the Body Griever Club listeners out there. This is for you if you are tired of hating your body, but body love just feels so deeply unattainable. This is for those of you who feel you are sitting in the suck at the cost of what accepting your body means. This is for you if a quote unquote body image journey feels unending and hopeless. I want you to know that you are not alone. And this is exactly why the Body Grievers Club and community exists. And so for the first time ever, we want to invite you to our free open house on November 7th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want you to come and learn from two fat, fabulous body image coaches on how we can help you move from body hatred to body acceptance through our signature Body Griever's Myth. So if you are thinking, well, what am I going to do at this open house? Number one, you're going to get to meet the maestros behind the magic. You get to meet Jen and myself in real time. And we're going to talk about how we create a trauma-informed and welcoming environment. We always joke that Brie brings the grief, but Jana brings the joy. But we both know how to have fun. So we'll spend a little time getting to know you. Number two, you are going to get a juicy as fuck sneak peek
the robotic grievers are going to get to work with us in 2024. Also, those that come to the open house are going to get first dibs on our limited spot availability on this never-before-seen life-changing body griever offer that is opening up to the public for 2023. And last but not least, you get a live opportunity to get your burning body image questions answered in real time. We're going to spend some time coaching you through some body image hurdles so that you can get a taste of what it's like to work with us. What is it like to be in our world? What I want you to know is that body grief is solvable. But here is the hard truth. We have spent a majority of our lives attempting to change, compare, criticize, and hold our bodies to unattainable and fatphobic standards. And so in turn, diet culture has brainwashed us into believing that our value and our inherent worth are tied to our pants. We need to deprogram from diet culture. We need to reject the propaganda that says we are more worthy in a thin and beautiful body. Body acceptance is the light at the end of the tunnel. But the tunnel is dark, and there's only one way out, and that's through. So if this speaks to your soul, whether you are brand new to my world or you've been here forever, we invite you to join us November 7th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a Body Grievers open house. We hope to see you there.